There we go. Now we're going. She wants to be up, moving around. She wants to be doing things. You know, grandmas and Christmas go together. And she wants to be up and doing things with the kids, with the grandkids, things like that. But she is still, I mean, she's had two major operations in as many months. And so it's taken quite a bit out of her. I appreciate everybody's prayers. You're long-suffering with me because I just, you know, it was in my heart to take care of my wife first. And you got to understand, she's the reason why I'm here today. She really is. The way God has used this woman in my life to help me, to shape me, to advise me, to restrict me, it's just amazing. There's a reason why God, you know, gives the qualifications for a bishop that he's to be the husband of one wife. And I never really thought about it until somebody brought it to my attention. You know, how can single men be bishops? And I went, you know, I get that. Paul was an apostle, which was a different office. And but anyway, she has just been there for me and with me. And sometimes she stood up against me when it was the right thing to do or when she felt it was the right thing to do. And so, you know, me spending time with her to help her recover was a no-brainer. It's just, yes, this is what I have to do. So, you know, while she was in the hospital, for the most part, I stayed with her. One night, my daughter stayed. And then all last week, I stayed home. And, of course, you know, did some of my study work at home, but also was there with her. And so, trying to resume a normal schedule this week, and a PMO a little bit delayed today, but we're ready to go. I want to show you where I'm going to start out today, and you might want to get a Bible out. Some verses I'm going to put up on. In fact, I'll put probably most of the verses up on the screen, but I want you to get your Bible out anyway. And let's see if here we go. I'm going to start out with, this is from the last two Watchmen video broadcasts dealing with Betty Andreessen and what's called the Andreessen affair. That was a series of books that was written on Andreessen's life, and where she says that she had aliens, these gray aliens, coming into her home, having interactions with her, taking her on a saucer-shaped flying disc. We don't really know that she went into outer space or not. We don't know that. And the reason why we don't know that is, she doesn't know that. And let me sort of explain what I'm talking about. When I was a boy, there is a theme park in Missouri called Silver Dollar City. It's in Branson, or just outside Branson, Missouri. They had a ride back then called the Diving Bell. And Silver Dollar City is this theme park based upon a mythological 1870s Missouri town that never really existed. I thought it was real. I thought it was a real town, but it was just a theme park. So anyway, they had this ride called the Diving Bell, and when you're in line for the ride, there's this big sort of pond or lake that you are walking down as you're going in line. And you get on this ride, and it gives you this illusion that you're going underwater. Now, because I'm a kid, I actually think that this ride is taking us under that pond of water that I remember seeing. That, you know, when we were in line to get on this ride. A 21st century equivalent to that is Universal Studios in Florida. I think there's one in Los Angeles as well. And some of their rides I like because they're inside in air conditioning. And there's one ride in particular, I remember me and Lisa and the boys got on, where I would have sworn we were on a roller coaster, but we weren't. We were on this platform, sitting down, buckled in, and with these 3D glasses on, and the screens all around us made it look like we were, and the platform moved with the video that it was showing on all the screens. And it gave you the feeling and the illusion that you were really on an indoor roller coaster. Blew me away. Now, we don't know whether or not Betty Andreessen actually went to some planet somewhere in outer space or not. Or at least I don't know that. Because I've not read where Andreessen says that she was in the ship and she sat watching out the window as they left Earth's orbit and was in space, and then they went into warp factor 5 and all the stars were going by, and then all of a sudden they stopped outside this planet in orbit. And that, I've not read that. What I've read of Betty Andreessen's story is that when she got on board this ship, they practically tied her down, or they put her in some sort of plastic bubble or some kind of nonsense, like, I don't know what it was. Then all of a sudden she has this remembrance that she's on another world somewhere. Now, it absolutely could very well be that she never left this world, never did. So I can't say that she was abducted by aliens, taken on a spaceship, and went into outer space somewhere. I cannot say that. But we know that one of the worlds that she says the aliens took her to, and the reason why I'm using that language is, we know that devils have the ability to put things in people's minds, which is what I'm going to talk about today. A spirit of divination. Because it was absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind, a spirit of divination that gave Betty Andreessen what you see on the screen. This is her artwork. Her drawing, as it were, of who she says the creator is. God. The creator, we know from the scriptures, is Jesus Christ. Let's pull up John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made. Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So Christ is the creator. And but according to Betty Andreessen, this bald Mr. Clean guy is the creator. And according to her description of what she drew, and let me point this out to you. Let's see, I need a pen here. There we go. Supposedly, this is the Father. Supposedly, this is the Shekinah, the female Holy Spirit. And this is their baby boy, Jesus. And according to her, these three are contained in the one. Now, lest you say, well, you know, 1 John 5:7, Pastor Mike. Let's read 1 John 5:7. And words mean something. Either the presence of words or the absence of words. It's like I've been saying all these years. For the Jehovah's Witness, when you add the letter A to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, you've changed the entire meaning of the whole Bible by adding that one word. The absence of the word in John 1:1 then changes the entirety, the entire definition of who Jesus is. Is he God or not? So the absence of the word in John 1:1 tells us that Jesus, the Word, is God. Period. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are. Now, if I were to say the one, then that would be what Andreessen saw. The one. But it doesn't say the one. Jesus didn't say, I and the Father are the one. He said, I and the Father are one. John 17, make them one as we are. He didn't say, make them the one as we are the one. Make them one as we are. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one. That's not what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And his name, one, the Bible says. King James Bible says. Andreessen is seeing a different Jesus and receiving images from a different spirit than the Holy Spirit. And as such, according to the rules, lest by, here's Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth, and I would, he or she. A lot of times when the Bible says he, it means mankind itself. It could be anybody. Whether it's Betty Andreessen, Joyce Myers, Paula White, Beth Moore, whoever. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and I submit to you that that's another Jesus, because her concept of all of this was that God the Father, the female Holy Spirit, and their son Jesus are contained in the one Creator, which is not the same as the doctrine of the Bible that you and I believe. It's not the same thing. And if it didn't come from the Bible, where did it come from? It came from another spirit, a familiar spirit. And those spirits are contacted by use of divination. Particularly, and what I'm going to suggest to you today is the idea of automatic writing. Because clearly, as Betty Andreessen is drawing this image out, and she is an artist, and the artwork that I've shown in the last several Watchmen broadcasts of Betty Andreessen's, you know, interactions with these aliens is her artwork. So she's able to draw it out. What I'm suggesting to you is that a spirit guided her pencil as she drew this image of God. Now, does this violate the second commandment? First commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. In fact, let's read it. Graven generally has with it the idea of a carving of some sort. Exodus 20, and then I have another verse to read to you. Let's see here. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, in Deuteronomy 4, I believe it is. Yeah. God said in verse 15, Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, bum, 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 because she drew God the Father and the female Holy Spirit as being part of the one. And I mentioned this in the Watchmen broadcast. No man has seen God at any time. God told Israel, Deuteronomy 4, be careful. Because when you met me at Mount Sinai, you did not see me. You did not see what I look like. No man can see God and live. Not even Moses. Moses was restricted to the back parts of God, but not his face. So clearly, Andreessen is drawing this, receiving the image from a spirit working through her imagination. The word imagination has the word image in it. She has imagined God in a different way than how the Bible portrays him. First of all, we would have to pretty much just delete all of this here. Because no man has seen God's face at any time. So we would have to get rid of that. There have been people that seen Jesus, but I know Betty didn't, and I know I haven't. So I don't know what he looks like. So we'd have to delete that. Nobody's ever seen the Holy Ghost, ever. So we'd have to, and it's a him, not a her, so we have to delete that. So now you're left with Mr. Clean. Bald-headed guy that she called the one. That she says contains the Father, the Son, and the female Holy Spirit. So Paul said, they all go hand in hand. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, or if you receive another spirit, or another gospel. If it's another Jesus and it's another spirit, it cannot be the same gospel as you and I believe. It has to be a different gospel. Since Betty Andreessen believes that these aliens are in fact angels, then it stands to reason to me that these angels have delivered to her exactly what Paul warned us about in Galatians 1, though we or an angel from heaven bring any other gospel. Paul did not specify which heaven they would come from, because there's three. The atmosphere of the earth, the place where the sun, moon, and the stars are, and the third heaven where God resides. And he said, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. And so all the things that Betty has said and her husband are cursed, because they come from a different spirit. They come from a different Jesus than the Jesus that you and I believe in. And what? How do we know we have the right Jesus? Because the Jesus that we believe in comes to us right out of the pages of the Word of God. You're going to get information from one of two sources. You're either going to get your doctrine, your theology, your ideas and philosophies about God, either from the Bible alone, or a spirit of divination, a familiar spirit, a lying spirit, a false spirit, evil spirit, unclean spirit, evil angels, call them what you want, aliens, same thing, call them what you want. That's, you're either going to get it only from the Bible, or you're going to get it from a familiar spirit or any of the other spirits. But you cannot use both. And this is where this idea of automatic writing comes in. There is a website. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. Let's see here. Here we go. It's an article I found on crosswalk.com. called How to Encounter God Through Journaling. Journaling, that's the new word for it. The old word for it was Dear Diary. And people, usually teenage girls, would write down their thoughts in their diary. And the 21st century term for that is journaling now, because you're not writing to yourself. You're writing things that you believe God is telling you. So the article says, writing has the power to help you see the beauty of God at work in your life experiences. When you express your thoughts and feelings in a journal, you'll be surprised by how much you discover about God in the process, and God will use your journal as a tool to transform you. No, he won't. What the article is saying to you is that your words and your thoughts will transform you, not God's word. See, God's a jealous God. And I believe there's a reason why John, in both the Gospel of John and in the Epistle of John, referred to Jesus as the Word instead of the Son. In fact, John wrote Revelation, and in the book of Revelation, his name is the Word of God. I absolutely believe the Holy Ghost led John to write that out that way for a specific reason. If you are following the Bible plus other things, you're not following the Bible, because God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory with another. He does not tell us, seek after all the books of the world, seek after your own wisdom, add it to the Bible. He does not tell us that. He tells us to trust only the written record of the Word of God. Only that. The Protestant Reformation called it sola scriptura, which means only the scriptures, which leaves out our imaginations, our philosophies, our thoughts, our words, and our journals. So the article says, here's how you can encounter God through journaling. Begin with prayer. Invite God to use your journaling experiences to draw you closer to Him. And now, here's what you're doing. You're asking God to violate His word. Because you're asking God to show you about God by your own feelings, your own imagination, and your own words as you write them down. You're asking God to violate His word, and God will not answer a prayer that causes Him to violate His word. He will not do it. So then it says, get ready. Decide when and where you'll journal regularly. Choose any time or place that works best for you, from early morning journaling in a quiet room of your home to late night journaling in a busy coffee house. Then buy a journal that appeals to you for writing your journal entries by hand, or set up a special file on your computer to type in your journal entries. Now, you've heard me say that I use Evernote. Or I will use a Word document, which, by, I don't know, if some of you may not know this. You do not have to purchase Microsoft Office Suite. There is an equivalent to that called LibreOffice, L-I-B-R-E, Office. It is mostly compatible with Microsoft. You get a spreadsheet, you get a presentation software, you'll get a word processor. Absolutely, it's free and open source. In case you don't want to spend all that money on Microsoft Office Suite, go to LibreOffice.org. You can get it, you can download it for free. It's free software. But anyway, you've heard me talk about the notes that I make. And if you looked at my notes, you would see that 99% of the notes that I make about things that I study are scripture. Scripture, scripture, scripture. And if I perchance have a thought that goes along with that and why I put that scripture in there, I might type that out. But we're talking about one, maybe two sentences, and that's it. The rest of it is scripture, usually categorized. But it's telling you... Well, anyway, let me keep reading. Don't give yourself freedom. Allow yourself to write or draw, which is that. Allow yourself to write or draw whatever comes to your mind. Don't criticize or censor your journal entries. Don't worry about trying to stick to grammar or spelling rules. Try to be logical, comparing yourself to others or avoiding the expression of troubling thoughts or feelings. In other words, it's telling you don't worry about being logical. Simply write to get what's on your mind out on paper or on the computer screen. Write what's true and real, keeping in mind that God loves you unconditionally. And that's a setup phrase. That's a setup phrase. Yes, I believe in God's love. But God loves people that He's going to have to condemn to hell. Right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, God does love unconditionally, but He loves people that He Himself is going to have to judge and send them to the lake of fire for all of eternity. In fact, every human being that ends up in the lake of fire, God loves them. So that phrase is a setup. It basically says, God loves you unconditionally, so you can do whatever you want to. Check your motivation. It's not enough to journal simply out of a sense that journaling is something you ought to do, because guilt isn't an effective motivator. Make sure that you're journaling because you truly want to encounter God in the process. Your excitement about expecting to meet God when you journal will keep you motivated enough to make journaling a regular practice in your life. Face your fears. Don't let a desire to avoid your fears keep you from journaling honestly about whatever you're thinking and feeling. Ask God to give you the courage to write about each of your fears openly, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. All right? Let's see here. There was something in here that I should have made a note on it, because when I there's a reason why I'm reading this article to you. Witnesses write a letter to God. Use your journal to write to God and aiming to be truthful rather than nice. Let's see here. I probably won't be able to find it now that I've pulled this up. Use your journal as a place to get to know more about yourself and befriend yourself. This is called loving yourself. Remembering that your identity is rooted in the fact that God made you and loves you. Reflect on your name by writing it across the top of a journal page or recording the memories, feelings, stories connected to your name. Consider, can you see some macho guy doing this? This stuff for women, teenage girls and stuff. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying this is not God. There was a phrase in here. I had it on the tip of my tongue earlier. Let's see here. I can't remember what it was. But basically, encountering God through attentive writing. And it was basically that God was going to give you things to write down that are words from God to you that day, is what this article was about. And this journaling, finding how to encounter God through journaling. And here's the premise of it. That your book is now the Word of God. Your book that you wrote becomes the replacement for how to really encounter God. If you want to really have an encounter with God, you read this book, not write your own. So, and I'm going to bring up Mark Verkler before too long. If that name sounds familiar to you, there's a reason why. If that name sounds funny to you, okay. But I'm going to tell you who he is in a little bit. And I'm telling you, that man, posing as a Christian, promotes the occult practice of automatic writing, where you go into a trance and you must perform, and he actually says four things. You must do four things. And if you do all four of these things simultaneously, you will be writing things down that has been given to you directly from God. You will hear from God Himself directly to you, and you write them down. That then becomes your Bible. And that is divination. It's divination. So, Deuteronomy 18. Here's what God said to the Israelites not to do. I've covered this, but let me read it again. And we're just sort of doing a word study today on the word divination or divining or the diviners. Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. Now here's what divination, there's a couple definitions of it. But it's any way that you are gaining access to knowledge by above natural means, supernatural means. In other words, you're gaining access, you're finding things out by occult methods or spirits giving you secret messages, spirits whispering to you, spirits showing you images, so on and so on and so on. That's what divination is. And there's thousands of different ways divinations can be done. There's no one set way to do it. Some people read tea leaves. When you put tea leaves in a cup or pour them out of the teapot, you drink the tea or pour the tea out, and you look at the leaves in the bottom. To me, they look like tea leaves. That's what they look like. But to a person who practices divination, they will look at the tea leaves and go, ah, oh, I see something here. Now, two things are possible. A, they're making it all up. They're lying out their teeth to get money out of you. Or two, a spirit is telling them what to say. Either way, it's forbidden by God to do it. It's a lie. Either way, didn't come from God. Looking at animal organs, and the Bible mentions those that look at the liver or animal entrails. They'll take a goat or a pig or some animal, rip it open, examine its entrails, and the person who does divination, the person who has a familiar spirit, will go, ah, I can predict the future this way. That's disgusting. Ugh! But people, they buy into this stuff. Palm reading. Looking at the lines on your hand, the way your hand folds together is what makes those lines on your hands. And for some reason, divination people believe that that determines the course of your life and how your life is going to end up. It's a lie. Again, they're either making it up or they're hearing from a spirit telling them what to say. Either way, it's wrong because it doesn't come from God and His Word. Cartomancy. Whether it's tarot cards, playing cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, card captors, any of these other Japanese card games, and there's dozens of them on the market out there. In fact, at our Walmart here in Festus, there is a whole row of kids divination based games, card based games, Ouija boards. Don't have Ouija boards in your house, period. Do not. If you have a Ouija board in your house, take it outside and burn it. Burn it. Get rid of it. It is, there is danger in those things. Kids, children, do not go. If you are at somebody's house and they pull a Ouija board out, call your parents. Get out of that house. You are in danger. Those things are terribly dangerous. But that's divination. So God says, there should not be found among you anyone that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And here's my favorite expression. Why would I turn to divination? I have a Bible. I have a God. Why would I listen to what an angel tells me or a spirit or my own emotions, when I have a Bible that can tell me everything that I want to know about God, about myself, about the spiritual realm, about my life, about my sins, everything. This is always my big point. Because the seminaries, the Bible colleges, the churches, the denominations across the board have said all the Bibles have mistakes in them. Because they've said that, that forces people who would be seeking after the one true God to go seeking in a different place other than the Bible. Because they're told their Bible's not right. They're told their Bible has mistakes in it. They're told their Bible can't be trusted. And yet, look at the lines on my hand. Now, what does those lines tell you? You have no idea, do you? So, why would you trust the marks on my skin or someone telling you the marks on your skin more than what the Word of God tells you? Why would you trust that? Why would you trust astrology? Why would you trust cardomancy, tarot cards, or any other card games? Why would you trust that? Why would you trust crystal balls? That's called scrying. Why would you trust gazing balls or gazing wells or gazing bowls or gazing mirrors or anything? Why would you trust that? Why would you trust journaling? Journaling seems to be you writing down your own thoughts and feelings. I am helping someone, a friend of mine, who is struggling through life with depression. Their thoughts are telling them things that are not true. Their own feelings are lying to them. And were they to write those feelings down and then put their trust in them, they would probably end up shooting themselves. And there's been numerous times when I've had feelings, emotions, thoughts in my head telling me things that were not true. Telling me to leave my wife, leave my church, telling me to leave my family, telling me to move, telling me to get out of this or go get out of Kenya or whatever. I've had that multiple times. And I've learned over the years, don't trust that. Don't trust that. Don't listen to that voice. Don't. And all the time you hear in everything, trust that inner voice in you. I'm telling you, don't trust it. Absolutely not. Don't trust that voice. Because you don't know whose voice that is, do you? Well, maybe God's telling me this. Maybe I ought to do it because God's telling me this. What if God's telling me this and I don't do it? If God's going to tell it to you, He's going to show it to you at least twice in that Bible. At least twice. So I don't trust it. Test the spirits, the Bible says. God does not have a problem. God is not the one who has the problem with you questioning whether the spirit that you feel or you heard or the voice you heard or the thoughts you've heard. God is not the one who has a problem with you questioning that. The devils do have a problem with you questioning that. So they'll threaten you. How dare you question me? How dare you question? Don't question, just do. They don't want you to start asking questions. They don't want you to start seeking out the Bible. Because then you'll find out that they lied to you. This is why Adam Schiff won't allow certain witnesses in on the impeachment hearings. Right? Because he knows they're not going to give the narrative that he wants. It's the same way with devils. When the thoughts come, when the voices you hear, when the things that's going through your mind, when they tell you, now don't question it, just do it. If that's the case, I would question it. Absolutely, because God is the one who doesn't have the problem with you asking, God, is this really you? Because he said, test the spirits, ask me, call unto me and ask me, and I will answer thee. Call unto me. Go ahead, do it. And if you're not sure, how many times did God call Samuel? 4 times. The first 3 times he goes running to Eli. The fourth one's always different. The fourth one, Eli said, Samuel, next time you hear this voice, because Eli knew who it was. Samuel, next time you hear that voice, say, hear my Lord. It is I, Samuel. He knew it was God the fourth time. And did God give a thrashing and a beating? And did he condemn Samuel to hell because he didn't answer him the first time? You should have known who I was the first time around, boy. Did God do that? No, God's long-suffering. Devils are the ones who are impatient. Right? Devils are the one who wants you to do it right now. Do it right now. Don't think about it. Don't pray about it. Do it right now. Devils want you to act on your impulse. Right? So God said, the people that I drove out of the land were diviners. I threw them out. And if you're in my land doing divination, guess what I'll do to you? I'll throw you out. And did God do that? Yep, he did. 1 Samuel 6:1, and the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. The Philistines called for the priest and who? The diviner, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. Now the point here is this. The Philistines are never right with God. Saints of the Most High God, Christian people, godly people, the Philistines are always a picture of the kingdom of Satan and all of his devils. That's who the Philistines are. Always. Always, 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 always without fail. There are no Philistines in heaven, ever. Okay? They're just not there. So the Philistines use divination. They brought in the diviners and they say, tell us what to do with this Ark of the Covenant. And the diviner said, "You need 2 new cows. Send it back with 2 new cows." Well, guess what happened to the cows? They killed them. The Jews killed them, slaughtered them, and sacrificed them to God. 1 Samuel 28. This is Saul ending up with Endora. The woman from indoor, not the woman from outdoor. That's pretty good. Then 1 Samuel 28:7. Then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. He specifically asked for a woman who is led by a familiar spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had left Saul. And God had already said, Saul, I'm not talking to you. Now, I'm going to give you a scary thought. Scary, scary thought. It may be that some of the people in church now who have turned away from the Word of God, God has already judged them, taken his spirit away from them. and all they have and all they will ever have is an evil spirit, a familiar spirit, a replacement spirit. And it may, they may call it the Holy Spirit, but it's not. It's one pretending. See, Saul wanted Samuel, but he didn't get Samuel. He got a God rising up out of the earth pretending to be Samuel. The Bible tells us that specifically. So Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment, went, and two men went with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Divine unto me by the familiar spirit. There's your clue right there. That it wasn't Samuel. Samuel was already in Abraham's bosom. It wasn't Samuel. Because later on the script, earlier in 1 Samuel 28, it specifically says that God would not speak to Saul by the prophets. That's who Samuel was. And so getting into this, these people that you know who go to church, it could very possibly be the case that God has already turned them over to another spirit, another Jesus, and another gospel. Now, I don't know that, and you don't know that. So you keep praying for them, like people prayed for me. God brought me out of questioning the Bible. God changed my mind, he changed my life, he changed my heart, changed my ministry, changed my preaching, changed everything. And it had to do with the Word of God, the King James Bible. And I believe God is still changing people, he's still bringing people around. So don't automatically think when you see somebody with some other translation, they're going to hell. Don't automatically think that. Do not condemn people. Judge no man before the time, and it's not time yet. If you would have judged me 25 years ago, you would have said, Mike Hoggard's reprobate. But God had me go through the wilderness to teach me the lessons he wanted to teach me, then he brought me out. And I'm never going back. I'm never, ever going back. Never. I'm resolved to follow the words that are in this book. And there may be some out there that God's is yet to bring out, but he will. So don't judge them yet. But it could also just as likely that people you know, family members you have, friends that you have, people you work with, people you go to church with, God's already turned them over to another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. So they're calling it the Holy Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. They're calling it, oh, I'm getting something from God. I'm getting a divine flow from God. 1 Samuel 28:11, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake unto Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. The king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. She didn't see Samuel. She saw a god or gods coming up out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. But it wasn't Samuel, because later on it says, so Saul died because he consulted with a familiar spirit. It says it in no uncertain terms that that was not. So you have two witnesses telling you that's not Samuel. It's another Samuel. Just like there's going to be another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel, another Bible. Right? So divination comes in various forms. 2 Kings 17. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria. Samaria is the capital of the 10 northern tribes, and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes. Why did he do that? Verse 16. Because they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, which means they left the Bible, and made them molten images, which is that. They made the molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination. They used divination. They journaled. They followed that inner voice in them, telling them what to do. I got a video to show you in a little bit of Mark Verkler giving his testimony of how he ended up, where he ended up doing what he's doing now. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. So for using divination, God took Israel, the 10 tribes, and put them in bondage under the rule of Assyria. The Antichrist is what that represents. Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formeth thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. No, the heavens are not this dome shell like a snow globe. With the earth flat and the heavens as this shell, this hard shell over the earth. That's not the heavens. The heavens are stretched out, God says. He stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad. You know what that means? Crazy, out of their mind. Diviners never think right. They're mad. They're crazy. They're not logical. That means that they're getting things by intuition and in imagination and ayahuasca and DMT and LSD and marijuana and alcohol, but they're not getting it from the Bible. Therefore, they're mad. Mad does not mean angry. Mad means crazy, out of their mind. They're not thinking right. That turneth wise men backward. Turneth wise men backward. So here's what's happened in my lifetime. Let's say in my lifetime. I was born in 1966. So 1966, I'm born. 1973, the New Testament of the NIV comes out. Then later on, the Old Testament. Then 1980, the New King James Bible. Then the New American Standard. Then the English Standard Version. Then the Holman Christian Standard Version. And then all of the other versions. They've updated the New Testament Greek to the 28th edition in my lifetime. They are soon to come out with the 29th edition, meaning that the Greek text from which the New Testament derives from is in a constant state of being changed. So therefore, any new translation that's translated from these Greek text will have to be changed to match the Greek text that they're translated from. And the NIV that is currently being sold right now is not the NIV that came out in 1973. It's been altered in multiple places. Whereas the King James has remained the same since 1611. Over 400 years. I say that's a great track record. So, what's happened in all the denominations that is followed all of these new Bibles. Years ago, in my lifetime, guys like Billy Graham, other preachers may have been preaching out of the King James, but in my lifetime, they've all changed and turned over in their preaching, in the Bible that they read from, and where they're getting their inspiration from. In my lifetime, we have seen the transformation of denominations and churches and ministries go backward. Turn back. Not to the old paths, not to the King James, but back to the days of divination. They're getting words from God that are not from God. They're from a different spirit. They're from a different Bible. Verse 25 again, "And maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof." So, in Numbers 22, verse 7, "The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak." They had money and gifts in their hand to pay the diviner. People who practice palmistry, crystal balls, contact with the dead, they never do it for free. Never. They might do the first run for free. But after that, it's going to cost you a fortune. And that's what they went to Balaam with. And so 2 Peter says that the false prophets and the false teachers of our day are following after the error of Balaam. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. "But these as natural brute beasts." You know what that means? They have the spirit of the beast in them. And since they are natural brute beasts, they cannot change their mind. Cannot change their mind. They're made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they understand not. Did you hear that? So people say, "Well, we don't read the King James because we don't understand it." They speak evil of the things that they understand not. We don't read the King James because we don't understand it. And besides that, the King James is a terrible translation. That's how you can spot a false teacher. "And shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes." You know what that means? Spots means sin. Spots and blemishes are rejected. "Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children." Cursed means they're not saved. "Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." You know what Balaam said? "Though you give me half of the kingdom, I won't speak against it." And what he was saying was, we know this now because of 2 Peter, that what was really going on with Balaam, even though you don't really see it in Numbers, you see it in 2 Peter, that what was really going on with Balaam was he was holding out for more money. That's what was really going on with Balaam. That's what Peter said about him. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. In other words, when they showed up with the rewards of divination, Balaam basically was saying, "You don't have enough yet to buy me out." but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Remember, the diviners are mad. Right here. Maketh the diviners mad. And Balaam was a diviner. And it was the donkey, the dumb, meaning mute, can't speak, donkey, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. He's the one that stopped Balaam from going to do what he was going to do. That is receiving the money of divination, the wages of unrighteousness. It's all about the money, isn't it? I love this. Numbers 23, 23. What's 23 and 23 added together? 46. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? I love that because when Samuel Morse was showing Congress that his method of using multiple stations to carry a telegraph message across scores of miles, even hundreds of miles, when Samuel Morse was showing this to Congress and to, I can't remember, the patent office, the man who ran the patent office, his daughter is the one who wrote, who gave Samuel Morse the first words to transmit through that telegraph, and it was, what hath God wrought? I remember learning that in my public school, fourth grade elementary history class. And it came from Numbers 23:23, and it was about divination. What hath God wrought? That was the first message sent by Morse's version of the telegraph. A little bit of history here. Now, Jeremiah 14. Let's see if I'm looking at my time here. There we go. We're getting there. Jeremiah 14, 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, I behold the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. That's what the prosperity prophets all say. That's what Joel Osteen says. Doesn't give negative confessions. Joyce Myers doesn't give negative confessions. I bought 3 books on Joyce Myers, and I'm beginning the process of going through them. And I'll tell you this. The Monday before Lisa had her recent surgery, I spent all day reading these Joyce Myers books. By the end of the day, I was literally ill. And what I'm doing is I'm pulling out all the statements that she made that I know for a fact are law of attraction witchcraft. Anyway, so the prophets, they don't make negative confessions. So they speak peace and they don't talk about famine and they say, you're always going to be blessed. You're always going to have peace. And if you think positive, you will have positive. So in verse 14, the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination. Where did they get it from? They didn't get it from God. Where did they get it from? Spirits. I haven't talked about this in a while, but I've shared this testimony before. When in 1997, when God spoke to me and said, Mike, you're going to study prophecy, or I'm going to show you prophecy. For that first year, I kept praying, God, give me dreams and visions, because I had heard some others talking about how God had given them dreams and visions. And I can remember on two or three different occasions where I asked God to give me dreams and visions. Every time I prayed that, God said, Mike, open your eyes. And I would open my eyes, and there would be my Bible. And God would say, Mike, there's your dreams and visions right there in the Bible. That's all you need. So I quit asking God for that. About the second or third time, I stopped asking God for dreams and visions. Because now I've had a couple of dreams that I think are relevant. In the next Watchmen broadcast series, I'm going to show you Betty Andreessen's Phoenix Initiation. And I'm thinking seriously about relaying a dream that I had during that Watchmen broadcast. I haven't recorded it yet. I have the notes almost ready. And I may relay a dream that I think goes along with that. However, I don't like doing that. Because number one, you don't know that I ever had that dream. You can never know that. I could be lying. I'm not, but I could be. I don't trust them. I've had dreams that I thought might have been from God, but I don't go around telling everybody those dreams because I don't know that they are 100% from God. I don't know that. So the only thing that I know for sure, 100% that I know for a fact comes from God is the words in my Bible. And there are dreams and visions in that Bible. Just because I didn't see those particular visions, I can read about them. And I've told God, finally I said, God, I'll accept that. And I won't ask you for this again. And I haven't, never have. Because even if I dreamed a dream, I don't know that I would trust it. I mean, I had a goofy dream the other night. I don't know if it's from God or not. There's no way in the world I would know that. I'm not even going to tell you what it was. So I don't trust that. But you've got people out there now that are saying they're dreaming dreams and they're getting visions all the time. People, don't trust them. Don't trust one word they say. You don't have to. You don't have to. They could be giving you a false vision, a divination, a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Verse 15 here, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. That's a lie. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Wouldn't it be, you know what I think could very well happen? Joel Osteen filed for bankruptcy. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. And this was done because of divination. Divination going on amongst church people. God says, I'm going to pour out wickedness upon them. Jeremiah 27:9, therefore hearken not to ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Apparently, before Israel went into Babylonian captivity, they had all these prophets saying, you're not going to go into Babylonian captivity. That's a negative confession. We won't even say that. We're going to say, we're going to give you positive things. We're going to tell you that God is going to prosper you. And then lo and behold, they end up being slaves in Babylon. Because whatever those prophets were saying and those dreamers and those diviners was not true. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. You know what that land is? It's heaven. And the purpose of the diviners is to make sure that a very, very large group of people never make it to heaven. Never. But they act like they're hearing from God. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. Now, Jeremiah 29:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Maybe some of you have had a dream. And maybe, just maybe, it was had something in it that is going to come true. How do you know? What do you trust? See, that's my point. If I were to look at pig entrails or tea leaves, I would say, yep, it looks like tea leaves. There's nothing there. But if I read the Bible, and I read the book of Revelation, or the book of Daniel, or the book of Obadiah, then I know what's going to happen. I know it for a fact, because it's the Word of God, the written Word of God. Not a replacement for the Word of God, a written Word of God. By holy men of God speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here is Mark Verkler. I introduced him years ago. He was on, somebody sent me a video of him on Sid Ross, It's Supernatural. And he was on there telling you that you can do certain things to cause yourself to release dreams. And that word release always makes me think it's false doctrine. Because it has the idea that you have God blocked somehow. It's like Facebook. You've blocked God. And God cannot work in your life. And the reason why you're not having prophetic dreams and visions is because you won't release it. And that's a lie. Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to get this. In Daniel chapter 2, to me, Daniel chapter 2 is the most, one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible concerning Bible prophecy and what's going to happen. Because in Daniel chapter 2, it tells you the secret of every mystery religion, every secret society, every false cult, everything is all found in Daniel chapter 2. The secret is in Daniel chapter 2. And God gave Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan, evil, false God-worshipping king, a divine dream, a prophetic dream. What did Nebuchadnezzar do to release it? Not a thing. Not one thing. And then he had another dream that, I mean, he remembered that one, but Daniel had to tell him what it meant. That he was going to be, you know, walking around like a beast for 7 years. And that happened. But he didn't have to release the dream. He was a pagan heathen sinner, and God gave him Pharaoh in the book of Genesis had two dreams, and they were prophetic dreams, and they came from God himself, and God gave the interpretation of the dream to Joseph. He didn't have to release them. That's a lie. It's an outright lie. So here's what Sid Roth says. Dreams can give you ideas that would change the world, can release destiny in your life. And people, Sid Roth is a Hebrew roots charismaniac who hates the Bible. But he never says that. But what he does is over and over offers all these replacements for the Bible. He had Rodney Howard Brown on his show one time telling everybody to bring fire down from God and get drunk in the spirit. He's had others. If you remember, Sid Roth had a guy on there where the guy said that Jesus took him up into heaven and he was standing in Jesus' library of books. And it was all these books were all the things that Jesus did that were written in the books that John said the world cannot contain those books. So they weren't written. And yet this guy says Jesus took him up into the library, and in this library was all these books of things that Jesus said and did. And Jesus told this guy on Sid Roth's program, this guy said that Jesus told him, you can pick any two books you want, and I'll let you go back to earth with them. So he picks a book up, and it's John. What is it? John. Chapter 20. I got to find the last chapter of John. John chapter 22. Because the last chapter in your Bible of the book of John is John 21. And this book said John 22. And he was going to take it. And Jesus said, no, you can't take that one yet. Because the world can't receive that one yet. But I'll tell you what, I'll let you come back one day when I'm ready to release John chapter 22 and you can bring it down and show it to everybody on the earth. And that is exactly what Paul said in Galatians. Though we are an angel from heaven, bring any other gospel. Let him be accursed. And that would be John chapter 22, because there is no John chapter 22. But according to Sid Roth and these guys, that there is. And Mark Verkler was on Sid Roth's program because Mark Verkler says that he hears the voice of God. In fact, I'm going to play for you. I hope the audio works. If it doesn't, I don't know what to do. Let's see if I can get this audio to play. Can you hear it? I don't think you can hear it. I can't play the video. But it was an interview with Mark Verkler about, and it's from his website, and I'm going to show you his website in a minute. And it's about how he went his whole life wanting to hear God's voice. So in the interview, it said that he tried fasting, and he still didn't hear from God. So get this now. All right, that's what I was afraid of. Get this. He tries a whole year reading the Bible and still doesn't hear God's voice. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? He read the Bible but didn't hear from God. Because in this video, I'll put it up on the screen. And I'll let you watch it. You can go to YouTube. It's called Mark Verkler, Our Message in 8 Minutes. And you'll hear Mark Verkler say that if I have a relationship with somebody, I communicate with them and they communicate with me. I see them and they see me. And he's comparing a relationship with somebody on this earth with his relationship with God by saying, if I say I have a relationship with God, then I should be able to hear God's voice, because if I have a relationship like with my wife, I hear her voice, so I should be able to hear God's voice. And yet, he read the Bible for a year. Now, he didn't say which one he read, but he read the Bible for a year, and he said he couldn't hear God's voice even after that. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me that God has already turned this man over to a reprobate mind. It tells me that his conscience is already seared with a hot iron. It tells me that even though he read the Bible, God refused to speak to him through it. Because I'm here to tell you, I mean, I'll go ahead and play this video, but it tells, that's Mark Verkler there. And he's giving his testimony about, you know, if I have a relationship with God, I should be able to hear from God. Well, he read the Bible, but he claims that he never heard from God. So his claim is that he does four things. Not three things, not two things, not five things. He does four things. And basically, it's transcendental meditation is what it ends up being. Transcendental meditation. He ends up going into a trance. He empties his mind, goes into a trance, and he physically hears God's voice inside of him. So then he says, I will guarantee you that you will have dreams every single week of your life. You can receive divine counsel from God through those dreams. He says it starts with a spoken mantra. And he says, I believe God will speak. What does that tell you? He is not getting his word of God. He's not getting God's voice from the Bible. He's getting a voice from a familiar spirit pretending to be God, but it's not God. It's never God. Because Jesus told us, don't do what the heathen do. Do not use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard through their much speaking. And that's what Mark Verkler says. You have to do a spoken mantra. Repeat it over and over and over again until you go into a trance, and then you'll hear the voice of God. In an earlier interview with Mark Verkler, Sid Roth and Mark Verkler, they're doing this interview, and he said, you have this surefire way to hear the voice of God. You put yourself inside imaginary scenes. And he equals meditation with imagination. Mark Verkler mentioned someone attending the Toronto Fellowship who learned to write from flow, automatic writing. Write from flow. Now, I've studied the life of Betty Andreessen. I know where she got her vision of the one from. And it wasn't from the Bible. It wasn't from Jesus. It wasn't from the Holy Spirit. It wasn't from God. It was from a familiar spirit. And I've watched dozens, scores of UFO speakers. Speakers speaking about aliens and UFOs. I've watched scores of them. Many of them saying, Grant Cameron for one. Paula, what's her name? Paula Harris is another one. Linda Moulton Howe is another one. Stephen Greer is another one. They channel the aliens. They get in contact with the aliens by meditation, the way Mark Verkler does. And this writing from flow is a New Age Eastern mysticism concept that through meditation and kundalini, you get into a flow where the universe, the divine, flows through you. And I've heard some of these new apostolic reformation people, the Kansas City Prophets, Toronto Blessing, Pensacola Outpouring, you name it, all of that crowd talk about getting in the divine flow. So you can hear the voice of God. And Mark Verkler actually says you start writing this stuff down. Let me read. This is Grant Cameron's book called Tuned In, The Paranormal World of Music. Grant Cameron is a UFO researcher. And he does all the UFO conferences everywhere. He makes his living this way. He writes books on UFOs and UFO encounters and alien encounters and UFO ships. And he's got all these, he speaks real fast. He's Canadian. And he wrote a book called Tuned In because it dawned on him that all of these rock and roll singers and all of these rock and roll music artists were getting songs from aliens. What does that tell you? Let me read to you a portion of the introduction to his book, The Paranormal World of Music. He said, I was further convinced when I discovered that other famous musicians who themselves appeared to be experiencers. Experiencers are people who have had contact with aliens, which are devils, familiar spirits, had also done versions of the song After the Gold Rush. I was convinced, but I knew that it would not be enough to sell the crazy idea that aliens were influencing music to raise consciousness. I had been in the paranormal investigation field long enough to know that, as Max Planck once said, new ideas get adopted only when there are enough funerals of older individuals who still buy into the old ideas they were indoctrinated with in school. In 1994, Professor John Mack, MD, professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and founder of the Center for Psychology and Social Change, learned about how slow change can move. When he was presented with a letter from the Dean of Harvard Medical School, Daniel C. Tostison, in that letter, Tostison stated that he had appointed a committee of peers to confidentially review Mack's clinical care of people who had shared their alien encounters with Mack, which he documented in his book, Abduction. The investigation would last 15 months and represented the first time in history of Harvard that a tenured professor had been subjected to such a peer review investigation. Let me read to you what he says. The idea that aliens or extraterrestrials might be influencing modern music faces an uphill climb. Even music itself faces the challenge that every new form of music is generally rejected. Like UFOs, most new forms of music are rejected by the older generation. In this book, I will show that it appears from the evidence that beings behind the UFO phenomenon have communicated with musicians to help change the consciousness of the younger generations to bring in new ideas and concepts to the world. At first, this claim may seem ridiculous. There is, however, significant amount of data that shows a huge interest by musicians in UFOs and extraterrestrials. No polls have been conducted, but if there were, the numbers would be staggering. This interest seems strangely unique to musicians. This becomes apparent to me after doing a lecture for a very elite golf club in Phoenix, talking about Phoenix, Arizona. In preparation for the lecture, I did an internet search to see if I could find a big-name golfer that everyone could relate to who had seen a UFO, claimed to have been abducted by aliens, or was interested in UFOs. After much searching, I could not find a single one. If the same search were done for musicians, it would be in the hundreds. You understand what he's saying? He said he looked for golfers, professional golfers, who came out and said that they had been abducted by aliens or saw a UFO or had a paranormal experience. He said zero. Zero golfers. So we know that there is no alien intervention in the PGA, Professional Golf Association. However, when it comes to rock and roll music, rap music, pop music, hip hop, whatever, hundreds of artists claim they have been abducted or contacted by aliens or ghosts or spirits or have had downloads from an unknown source of music and lyrics. The interest into UFOs goes way back to people like singer Sammy Davis Jr., who had a series of sightings in 1952. By the way, Sammy Davis Jr. was a member of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco. Or orchestra leader Jackie Gleason, who was absolutely obsessed with the UFO subject. According to certain people who knew things that were going on, Jackie Gleason and Richard Nixon were friends. And Jackie Gleason went with Richard Nixon to what Air Force Base was it? I can't remember which Air Force Base it was, so I'm not going to say. But Richard Nixon got access with Jackie Gleason to a hangar at a United States Air Force Base where he showed him alien technology. That's from a very high source. I can't remember. I have notes on it. I've heard that from several different people. The association extended to the biggest bands of the 20th century, like the Beatles. John Lennon, a key band member, had at least one UFO sighting that he acknowledged, and later research showed that Lennon may have been abducted. Ringo Starr also was hooked on the subject, talking about it at length in a 1969 interview. Audiences are usually shocked when I play a 1974 commercial made by Lennon and Starr for Starr's album Goodnight Vienna. It was narrated by Lennon and shows Starr getting into a UFO which has landed. The UFO then takes off, flies over Los Angeles, and lands on the RCA building. You can find this commercial on YouTube. I've watched it. Where Starr gets out and waves. Here's the album cover. The cover of the album has Starr outside a flying saucer with one of the extraterrestrials from the 1952 movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. Many of the videos for songs on the album have Starr standing on a flying saucer while singing. What follows in this book is a stunning list of musicians who claim to have had UFO sightings, had UFOs show up at their concerts, claim they were abducted by aliens, or even claim that they were actually alien or part alien. This book looks not only on modern musicians, but also musicians back through the centuries. What was found was the same claim of being aided in their musical creations, but referencing God or spiritual guides as opposed to aliens. Thus, the book began with aliens, but branched out into other sources of inspiration referenced by musicians to produce their music. These inspirations included dreams, spiritual guides, muses, and other non-physical sources. Muses is where the word music comes from. Muses were spirits that supposedly inspired thoughts that people had while they were thinking on certain subjects. There was this idea that there were spirits like little fairies, like Tinkerbell, that while you were thinking on a subject, these muses would enter into your mind and give you ideas. That's where supposedly certain people got ideas for certain things. And Grant Cameron's book, Tuned In, establishes the idea that a large portion of those who write and perform rock and roll music do so by way of divination. And I believe him. That's why I bought the book. Rock and roll is still the devil's music. Sid Roth claims God's voice comes through intuition and spontaneous flow. He mentions walls that had to be broken down in order for it to work. If you remember the Watchmen video I did on Betty Andreessen, where she stood in front of these doors, what that symbolized was there is a door in your mind. Written on that door is the word sober. While that door remains, that gate or that door remains shut, you are sober-minded. You think rationally. You don't try to eat paper. Right? You don't hear voices. You don't look at some other woman and think that's your wife. You think soberly. Colossians tells us that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Mark Verkler and others tell you that you go into a trance like transcendental meditation, empty your mind, create a void space, create space for God to come in. And that voice that you hear is the voice of God speaking to you. And that you are to write down what you think God is telling you, and that is your Bible for today. And that it overrides the authority of the written record of the Word of God. This was a website on journaling, a form of meditative worship. Journaling can be a form of worship. In solitude, we can explore the blessing of writing our hearts to God. We don't have to be professional writers or even good writers. It's all about the passion for God in our hearts. Journals and letters are powerful tools for recording thoughts, prayers, fears, and miracles in our lives. Writing our hearts to God is a fantastic complement to our daily devotionals with Him. Journaling, seek God and hear His whispers. Excuse me. God doesn't whisper. I will show you who does. Caps lock off. W-H-I-S-P-E-R. Isaiah 29:4. Look at that verse. Thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground, and they shall speak, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. God doesn't whisper. Familiar spirits do. I got to do something here real quick. There we go. Anyway, the website says journaling typically works best in a quiet place. Find a daily retreat and explore the power of meditative prayer and writing in your life. Learn to seek God's face during your... Come on! No man has seen God at any time. We cannot see God's face. Cannot! It will kill us. So whatever face you see is not the face of God. It's the face of a familiar spirit. The website says through writing, learn to hear God's whispers in your life. God doesn't whisper. You know, even in that passage where it talked about a still small voice? You know what a whisper is? Speech without voice. It's speaking like this, but with no voice. That's a whisper. See, hear the difference? This is my speech with my voice. This is my speech without my voice. You understand that? God's voice uses his voice. Familiar spirits apparently don't have. You know what? I just remembered something. Richard Doty. I featured his YouTube video a couple months ago. He worked at Kirtland Air Force Base, and he investigated UFOs. He was briefed in on the government's knowledge of aliens and UFOs. And he said the little gray Ebens, they called them, extraterrestrial biological entities, the one that they had living didn't have a vocal cord, had no vocal cords. Therefore, they couldn't speak. So, he said that one of the physicians, one of the surgeons at the base was able, I forgot how he said it, to put something in his throat so that he could speak. But he had no voice. That matches the verse that we just read, that familiar spirits whisper out of the dust. God speaks in a still small voice. It's familiar spirits that whisper. God doesn't whisper. Ezekiel 12. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. God said that he was going to do away with flattering divination. Let me show you. Let's see here. This is Mark Verkler's website, Communion with God Ministries. This is his website. Let me click on that and show you this. Okay, here's Mark Verkler's books. Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. Counseled by God. Prayers that Heal the Heart. Hearing God Through Your Dreams, Your Extraordinary Life. And then Mark Verkler's video. You can watch it on his website, cwgministries.org. Now, he has several people on his website. This lady here, Charity Kayembe, Exploring the Spirit Realm of Dreams, Visions, Quantum Physics, and Angels. She actually has, let me pull up. Well, let me click on this. Charity Kayembe's blog. Dr. Charity Kayembe has been guest posting on her father Mark Verkler's blog. We received so much wonderful feedback from her Angel series. See, his children have followed in daddy's footsteps. Because this woman is in constant contact with angels. This thing here, Angel Diaries, Daniel 10, I clicked on that earlier. Listen to this. Below is part four of my series on angels, God's servants, my friends. If you'd like to read about the day Jesus introduced me to my guardian angels, as well as some scriptures he highlighted for me about them, please click check it out here. Listen to this. It all came together for me one night after work. Leo had a meeting that evening, so I was happy to have another extended quiet time when I got home. My angel, Shobi, wanted to show me something in Daniel, so I turned there and started reading and listening to him share his perspective on the verse. She's listening. She is admitting that she is letting an angel interpret the Bible for her. Come on! This is the fruit of Verkler and probably hundreds of thousands of others like him around the world who are drawing people away from reading the Bible and believing what it says to speaking to angels. And it's, see, here's the thing. She calls them angels. Mark Cameron calls them aliens. Other people call them fairies, muses, elves, devils, familiar spirits, unclean spirits, evil angels, or gods, with a little g. Many names for the same entities, the exact same entities, many names. All of this as a replacement for hearing from the written word of God. Now, what I'm gonna tell you is this. If you didn't read it in the Bible, you didn't get it from God. Don't trust it. And this, if I wish the audio would have worked, you would have heard Mark say that he spent all this time reading the Bible and didn't hear God speak one time. I know what that is. God's closed the book to him and sealed it. And even though Mark is reading it, God is not speaking to him. Just like he stopped speaking to Saul. So what finally happened with Saul? God turned him over to an evil spirit. And he eventually saw a familiar spirit and believed that it was Samuel, but it wasn't. The same thing with Mark Verkler. Now, I don't know the man's life. I don't know what's on his computer. I don't know the food that he's got in his refrigerator. I don't know what books he has on his bookshelves. I don't know what he watches on TV. I don't know anything about the man. What I know is that God has stopped talking to him through the written pages of the Bible, and an evil spirit, a familiar spirit, speaks to him and he writes it down. That's divination. God meant what he said in the book of Revelation chapter 22. If any man shall add unto the words that are written herein, I will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And he meant exactly what he said. So, bottom line is, if you didn't hear it from God, you didn't hear it. If you didn't get it from the Bible, it ain't from God. If it's not from the written record, 66 books, if you didn't get it from there, don't trust it. Only trust the Word of God. and to avoid muses and spirits putting thoughts in your head that don't belong there, think Bible.